This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
It's unquestionable today. The United States is indeed the most powerful nation in the world. Its military assets stationed around the globe, combined with its nuclear prowess, is second to none. Undoubtedly, it could have its own way with most of the nations of the world if it chose to exercise its full military might and strength. In the book of Micah, we are told a remnant of Israel shall exist among the Gentiles, and that it's characterized as capable of being a vicious lion or as playful as a young lion among the lambs. That's if it wanted to. It could tread down and tear in pieces so violently that none could deliver its prey. Yes, we are told, this remnant of Israel will be a beast that shall be able to cut off all its enemies. However, Micah also mentions eventually this remnant of Israel in the latter days will be cut off, its cities and land destroyed, its people and graven images taken out by God, who will execute his anger among the remnant of Israel. Could this be the same end-time beast of Revelation? Stay with us as we explain the confusion surrounding the end-time beast of Revelation on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. It is good to be with all of you once again. You know, as we attempted to portray there in the opening segment of the program, I think you can begin to see, and astonishingly as it may be, how many Christian ministries, ministers, public speakers seem to be promoting this idea of all things that the beast of Revelation 13 is the United States of America. Yes, that's right, my friends. There is a tremendous amount of different ministries, and as I say, Christian ministers, who are continuing to promote this idea that the beast of Revelation 13 is indeed the United States of America. And they come to this idea, of course, because the United States, of its size and its scope and the immense strength that it seems to portray around the world, its dominance almost in every area of the areas of economics, for instance, with its currency being, of course, the world's reserve currency. Most banks do indeed use American dollars to gauge their values for purchases and, of course, paying bills. Technology, whether it be in computers or cars, construction, you name it, all kinds of dominance in this area, as well as education and, of course, the military prowess of the United States as it stretches its navy across the world, controlling certain ports of access to other lands like over there in the Middle East, or for that matter, even running particular campaigns, military campaigns over there in the South China Sea. The United States is suspiciously considered because of these things to be this end-time world-dominating power that will rule the world with this tyrant, this strongman autocrat, and a false prophet. And of all things, my friends, can this be true? I mean, is it even possible to even think that the United States could ever develop into this tyrannical, world-dominating power driven by, as I say, some wild man autocrat and a false prophet? I mean, there are people going around already claiming that fulfilled prophecy is well on its way because Donald J. Trump has now entered the White House, and there you go, because he, as some people view him, as being a narcissist or as a tyrant or as this autocrat, businessman of sorts, a billionaire, multi-billionaire for that matter, well, they just don't like him. They don't trust him, and consequently, they think that he is also possibly moving right in this fulfilled prophetic role of being the beast. There were people that thought that former President Obama was the devil himself and that he was going to be the beast, that he was going to inject and entertain and conduct all kinds of martial law and take your guns away and all of this. And so much of this hyperbole and over-exuberant exaggeration oftentimes skews, frankly, the perspective of so many. And as a result, at the end of the day, guess what? Nothing really does happen, much like the blood moons, the Mayan calendar, the Y2K2 events of the turn of the century some years ago. But it brings us back to this question that I want to ask today. Can the United States of America, in biblical prophecy, truly be considered the beast of Revelation 13? Well, I want to talk a little bit about this in more detail today, but before I do, I want to go ahead and interrupt myself, as we normally do, to offer you a couple of pieces of information that I think will be very helpful to all of you in gaining more insight on this particular subject. They are actually audios, CDs that we're offering, two of them. One is about an hour presentation titled, Is Revelation 13 Describing the United States of America? Very interesting presentation given before a live audience that is going to go into far more detail than what I'll be able to go through here. In addition, we have a 12-hour series. That's right, a 12-hour audio series titled The Biblical Origins of the British Empire or Great Britain and the United States of America. And this is going to give you some framing, some very important backstory of just exactly how all this plays, that is the United States in particular, along with Great Britain, and for that matter, you could even roll the Jews in there into Bible prophecy. I think it'll be very edifying for you and certainly give you some food for thought as you begin to look at the Bible. Guaranteed, you'll never look at the Bible and prophecy the same once you do take the time to go ahead and get this series. Now, we're only going to send you one disc, and then you'll have to request the remaining, and we'll send those thereafter upon your requests as you go through the series of discs that you'll get. All you got to do is dial 888-578-8791 and or hit us on that website at www.cgi.org. Ask for both of these free offers. And before I go back to the program, let me remind all of you of our free webcasting opportunity or service feature that we have on our website. Every Saturday, we have a live speaker in real time giving a presentation there from our home office or some other location, presenting some topic from the Bible or world news or some social issue that is certainly particular to the Christian way and lifestyle. Do tune in on Saturdays. The times are announced there on a regular basis, whether it's Central Time, Eastern Standard, Pacific, or so on. So go ahead one more time now, 888-578-8791. Ask for those free offers and also that website there at www.cgi.org, and we'll get this material out to you as soon as we can. Okay, let's get back to the program here on what we were talking about in regards to so many people who are truly convinced, and there are a lot. Matter of fact, I was amazed at how many Christian people, how many Christian churches, how much of the traditional evangelical movement is involved in suspecting that the United States of America is indeed the beast described there in Revelation 13. So again, I ask this question. Could the United States be this beast? Well, let's turn over here to Revelation 13. I'm already there. And let's just take a little bit of this information and begin to try and digest it and see just exactly what we're talking about. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, here we go. And I stood, the Apostle John, who wrote this particular book under inspiration of the Holy Spirit in vision, states this, that he stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads. Now, notice this. You may want to even write this down. You know, it wouldn't do you any harm to go ahead and list these items down. Seven heads, 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon the heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. So we're getting all these images here. And his mouth as a mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Verse 3 now. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound, it was healed. And all the world, the whole world, all the world, it says here in verse 3, all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, that is the world. The world worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, admittedly, we have a lot of symbolism here. I mean, this is a lot of description of beasts and heads and crowns and people worshiping, the whole world worshiping this beast. And it has military prowess. Obviously, this is a very powerful, powerful government, religious power. I don't know. Your guess what? Is as good as mine in this particular case, just looking at Revelation 13 for what it says, verses 1 through 4, when in fact we have no context, you see. Because context is king in everything. So the question becomes, how can we interpret this? Because as I've already said, your guess is as good as mine. If I begin to try and attempt to assign certain things out of my imagination, well then, what gives me the right to do that over you? I mean, you should be able to do that as well. And guess what? We both could come to our own conclusion because there's no context here guiding us and defining certain boundaries by which we would be able to identify these particular descriptions of these beasts and crowns and heads and people worshiping it. So the question now becomes, is there some place in the Bible where we can go for context to help us better define what these beasts are and what's being described here? Well, my friends, there's good news. Let me take you over here to Daniel chapter 2 for a moment. This is Daniel chapter 2. And over here in the book of Daniel, over in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, you see, and I'm not going to read all of the scriptures here. I'm just going to go ahead and reference the fact that Daniel, this prophet, was told by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to go ahead and interpret a dream. That's right. And over here in verse 36, you begin to go ahead and see this interpretation actually articulated and described. I'm not going to read all of these verses down through about 43, verses 36 through about 43, but I will bring your attention over here to verse 38. Verse 38, we read this. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, has he given unto your hand, talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was, and has made you, King Nebuchadnezzar, ruler over them all. You, and he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel states, are the head of gold. And then he proceeds in verse 39, states that there's going to arise another kingdom inferior to Babylon. He says here, then a third kingdom is going to rise. A third kingdom is going to rise. So there's one coming after Babylon, and then one coming after the one that came after Babylon. And then he even says in verse 40, a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now, uniquely enough, this same prophecy, different animals or different images were used, images of animals. This was a statue, a head of gold, and as you went down through the torso, it was different material. But over in Daniel chapter 7, you see basically the same description of this biblical prophetic saga this unfolding of nation after Babylon, nation after nation after Babylon, described, but instead of described as a statue with the head of gold and so on, you have different animals described. And guess what, my friends? Those animals connect right up to Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. Now, I know for some of you students of the Bible, and perhaps are those of you who are a little bit more astute with prophecy, this is rather elementary to all of you. But I want to bring something to all of your attention to help us all realize something. What we're going through here, as fundamental as this exercise may be, we are illustrating the fact that the Bible is interpreting itself, because without question, it starts with Babylon. It goes to the Medes and the Persians. I'm not going to have time to go through all of this, but suffice it to say in Daniel 8 and so on, the beasts are described by identity, nations, attached empires, the names of those empires, to these beasts. And you will find that the lion is Babylon, that the bear here is essentially the Medes and the Persians. You will find that the leopard, which has, by the way, four heads, and when you add those four heads to the bear and the lion, which are two, of course, that's six heads. Then you come down to the fourth beast, and I want to bring your attention over here to Daniel chapter 7, talking about the fourth beast. He says here, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold," verse 7 now, Daniel 7, "a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth." Oh, that connects right up to Daniel 2. Remember the iron and the clay? Notice the description. "It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns." Go back to Revelation 13. We described that 10 horns, and we described over there how it had seven heads. Remember that? And it had crowns on its heads. Over in Revelation, I'll turn there real quickly here just for the sake of our discussion. In chapter 17, not 13, Revelation 17, we read here in verse 1, that the great whore, this woman that sits on this beast, as you will be introduced to later on, she sits upon many waters, and those waters are described in chapter Revelation 17, verse 15, as the waters which you saw, verse 15, look at this, where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And what are we told in Revelation 13? That the whole world would worship this beast. That the whole world would be basically Twitter-pated over this whole thing about this beast and its power and the fact of who could make war with it and how it was really something that was very superior compared to all the other nations of the world. So, here's my point, my friends. We have just gone very quickly, admittedly, but nevertheless, gone through the Bible affording itself to basically interpret itself, giving us the context now of Revelation 13. Real quickly, if you'll go back to 13 with me here, you will see now we have some context here of these animals, because we see the lion is listed, we see the leopard is listed, we see the bear is listed, we see that 10 horns are listed. We see all of these things that we read in similitude over in Daniel 7 as exactly being connected and described with those other empires, the empires of Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, and of course the Greco-Macedonian Empire, and of course by extension, the Roman Empire. And so what we see here as we begin to add the information of the end time prophetic scenario line upon line and item by item, we begin to see that in the latter day, there will be a resurrection, the wound will be healed, and a resurrection of a holy Greco-Roman Babylonish empire called Babylon Mystery, right? That's what the Bible calls it. And it is basically that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, of which John wrote about in Revelation chapter 17, of which he was clearly connecting up with the city of Rome. So we have a Greco-Roman Babylonish system here. And the context is, it is going to rise in the area of that European Middle Eastern sector over there, that footprints around the Mediterranean Sea, because we know that due to the fact of all the activity in the end time is going to take place, generally speaking, in that geographical area. And again, I don't have the time to get into all these details. That's why you need to get the offer in respect to some of this, because the facts are that as you add these items in, line upon line and item for item, you will begin to see where the playing field is. And guess what? It's not the plains of the U.S. It's not New York City. It's not San Francisco or Chicago. My friends, we forget this Bible is a book about Israel. This whole book, you could make the case, is the story of one man's family. As a matter of fact, it commences, this story about Israel commences in Genesis chapter, and I'll turn there real quickly here, if you would, if you have your Bibles, chapter 12, where basically, Abraham of all things, he was the father of Israel, if you don't know that. Some of you, I'm sure, do. But right here in chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, Abraham, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but I'll point your attention to it, is very clearly offered a proposition. God propositions him. He says, look, Abraham, if you leave this location where you live and leave your family, follow me, believe me, I'm going to make you a great nation. That's right, a physical nation. Geography, people, resources, mineral, wealth. You will have leaders. You're going to be a great nation, is what he says. In addition, secondly, all peoples will be blessed out of your seed, your line, your lineage. Your family tree is going to be the family line by which I will bless all of humanity through. And guess what? Abraham had a son Isaac, who had a son Jacob, who had 12 boys, of which one of those boys was named Judah, of where we get, by the way, with Jacob's name being changed to Israel because of his 12 sons. The 12 tribes of Israel come into play in your Bible, of which one of those tribes, just one, was named Judah. And Judah is the father of the Jews. And we understand so clearly, do we not, that Jesus Christ was a Jew. He came from the tribe of Judah, from the father of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. So, my friends, as I'm trying to portray here, this book is a book about Israel. It's a book about how God is working the destiny of humankind through a nation, Israel, of which he's blessing from the seed of that line through Jesus Christ, the Savior of humanity, who was a Jew. The destiny of mankind is all about the plan of God and how God is reproducing himself, and through repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ from the tribe of Judah, the house of David, we, that is human beings, can actually gain access to immortality. You see, my friends, what people don't recognize and what most don't realize, God's reproducing himself. He says it right here. He says right here in Genesis chapter 1 that God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. He talks about cattle and so on, even the creepy things. And then in verse 27, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, and he created two versions of the same species, male and female. Why is that? So that they, human beings, could do what he's doing, and that is reproduce and dominate his creation, because he gave mankind control over all of his creation. hoping that he, mankind, through repentance, would recognize the value of why he was born and the fact that he's been created after the image of God to be born of God as an immortal into his family. Now, you may be saying, Bill, what does that have to do with the beast of Revelation 13? It has everything to do with the beast of Revelation 13. Do you know why it has everything to do with it? Because if you understand that this book is about the nation of Israel, you will understand that the United States, Great Britain, and the Jews do not play the role of the beast. It's that simple. It's that simple, my friends. You have to look at biblical prophecy, and this is what most traditional evangelical Christians miss. They don't look at it from God's perspective. They miss the whole plan. They miss the angle. They miss the outlook. They miss the approach that God has in looking at biblical prophecy. If you're going to understand Bible prophecy, my friends, you have got to look at Bible prophecy from the perspective of God. And I'm telling you that God's perspective is the perspective of Israel. That's right. The perspective of God is an Israel perspective. Once you begin to grasp that, my friends, you will begin to understand the key to understanding biblical prophecy. Time's run out on me. Dial that number, 888-578-8791. Get these free offers that we have today for you on this program. The CD, one-hour presentation titled, Is Revelation 13 Describing the United States of America? This will go into far much more detail than I've been able really to go into here. I've just been able to scratch the surface on this. And then the 12-hour presentation lecture series on the biblical origins of the United States of America and Great Britain. We'll send you the first CD, and then you'll have to request the second one. It costs us a lot of money to send them out. We want to be sure that you're interested in getting this biblical perspective, this God perspective, this perspective from God's point of view, which is an Israel perspective. That's what you need to get, and these offers will provide you the opportunity to be able to do just that. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.